If you have your Bible with you, turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter number 3. I perhaps would be looking more pointedly to the younger generation tonight, to our young people. But it won't hurt at all for those of us who don't consider ourselves to be of that number to listen in. Looking at a brand new year ahead of us. I wonder what changes will take place over this year that we get to this point next year and look back and I wonder where we will be. Oh, I'm not talking about different location, living, not talking about sitting in a different pew, or gaining or losing weight, or any of those small things. I'm talking about where we will be spiritually. And young people, no different now, really, than what it was when I was your age. There's challenges to be faced, decisions to be made, crossroads to come to. And we need God's help to be able to make the right decision. I know Brother Dan Stettler, so probably more than any other preacher that I know of anyway, preaches the message, or at least he's always saying it. Maybe it's just because I'm always hearing him. It may not stand out to you if you hear him very much, but decisions determine destiny. The decisions that we make today are pointing us in a direction that we are going, and that's determining where we're going to end up. Sometimes we think that our little decisions now are not going to affect us when we get older. I can't help but come back a little bit anyway to the Sunday school lesson this morning. Remember now thy Creator in the days of your youth. The decisions that you're making now are determining what direction you're going to go. And the direction that you're going will lead you to a destination. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life everlasting. Strive to enter in. I believe that that means really simply for us that we need to be careful. We need to take care. Daniel chapter 3. Verse number 16 basically is the text. You know the story well. Verse 16 tells us this: Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You know the story, don't you? They are standing on the brink of death. And what a horrible dying surely it must be. Thrown into the fiery furnace. It would have been so much easier for them to have bowed the knee and prayed to their God. You know, all they were doing was an outward thing of conformity to the law of the land. They could have easily bowed the knee and in their heart and in their mind worshiped their own God, the true God. And everything would have been fine. There wouldn't have been any consequences to face, especially the loss of their life. The king actually gave them another opportunity, I believe. At one point, they had opportunity. And the result was from these three boys. Now, I mentioned that they're three boys because the likelihood of them being teenagers is pretty high. It's pretty likely. If they're not teenagers, they're not very much past the teenage years. They're just young folks. Not only are they young, but they are away from mom and dad. They're away from mom and dad's watchful eye and watchful care and protection and wisdom and leadership. They're away on their own. They only have each other to rely on. And it's good to have somebody to rely on if it's positive peer pressure. But there's a tremendous amount of negative peer pressure that's going on right here in this story. And the king tells them, they all are aware of it, that if you don't bow the knee, there's consequences to pay. Nebuchadnezzar was at the top of his emotional platform, if you please. He was pretty high on himself. He wanted everybody to bow to this image that had been graven and erected for him. The thing that I want to notice about the three Hebrew children here, as we would commonly refer to them, in their response, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. You see, the decision had already been made. It was beyond the area of debate. Beyond the area of debate. How many things in your life tonight is beyond the area of debate? There's just no debating it. Beyond the area of debate in the way that we look, in the way that we dress, the things that we do, the places that we go, the music that we listen to, the material that we read, or the material that we view, or participation on the internet. Now, I may get myself into trouble on both sides tonight. But I believe that God wants each one of us, and He wants us as young people to establish areas that are beyond debate before we need to get to those places of making decision. We need to have guidelines set up. Now, I don't believe for a moment that these three young men had to make a decision right here about who they're going to serve. They had already made the decision before it came down to the brass tacks. You know, young people, you need to make decisions now, or maybe some of you should have made decisions before, about your relationships in dating. Because when that relationship develops into a dating relationship and you are placed in a position where nobody else is around, you need to have guidelines established where the things that you're going to do or not going to do are beyond the area of debate. They're no longer on the auction block. If you understand what I mean, I'm not for sale in that area. I'm going to keep myself clean. I'm going to keep myself pure. I am going to establish a guideline of purity before I reach the point of having to make that decision. We need that in every area of our lives. What kind of material am I going to read? What kind of material am I going to view? Now, David was long before there was any options of the viewer possibilities today. He said, I will set no evil thing before my eyes. Now, there's many different options that we have today to view things. But as a Christian, our guidepost should be beyond the area of debate that I'm going to keep my mind absolutely as clean and pure as possible. You know, we fall very easily into the temptation thinking that, well, just one time isn't going to affect me. But we find over and over again that people who have gone down that road look back and say it started with just that one innocent time. People that are addicted to pornography on the internet did not just jump headlong into that. But it started with a little hook in the jaw. And many times, the first option, the first opportunity to view was that hook in the jaw. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking to young people tonight or who are going to be brought face to face at the crossroads of life with decisions that are either going to keep them pure or keep or make them go in another direction and defile their mind and ultimately wreak havoc in their lives. Now, we can probably, most of us who are of a little bit age, we could probably get a little bit blessed when the preacher's talking about the carefulness, if not the absolute abhorrence, to internet work or activity. I suppose, though, that if I may be allowed tonight, Terry Tischner probably thanks God somewhat in the back of his mind every day for the tool of the internet. And his employees probably do, too. Could I add the proper use of the internet? I know it's not just Terry. He's one that came to mind as I was preparing this because I was talking with him some time ago and we talked about the internet use that he has. From all I can see, he is very careful for himself. And for his employees, he doesn't want anybody to get caught up. There's a care that is there. The internet is a wonderful tool. Young people, keep it that way. Keep it as a tool. A productive tool that will enhance your education in a proper way and never allow your mind to be defiled by its possibilities. Protect yourself in every way possible. If there's any inclination whatsoever, to go in places that are not real or not proper, then do something in the way of accountability. Make yourself accountable to your Sunday school teacher or to your pastor or to your parents. So that you'll be protected. Did I mention what you read? Oh, I think I did twice. Third time's the charm. You see, repetition sometimes sinks in. Reading material, viewing material, internet usage. I think I mentioned music, didn't I? You see, we need to get real serious before God, even at a teenage year, and decipher and discern what God would have and how God would have for me. The places that we go, the things that we do, the way that we look, beyond the area of debate. Could I incorporate the psalmist in 139 and verse 23, he said, "Search me and know me. Try me and see if there's anything in me that is not pleasing to you. Help me to walk in your paths." And the psalmist also said in another passage, he said, boy, I could get into trouble here. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. That's a message all on its own. I dare not get into that. Presumptuous sins. Well, I can do this one time and God will forgive me. You heard me say it before, haven't you? It's easier to get forgiveness than permission. Keep that in the personal relationship, not with God. Presumptuous sins. Well, if I do this and I feel bad about it, I can go back and God will always forgive me. He's never going to leave me alone. He's going to be right there. David suggested that if he could be preventing himself from living in presumptuous sin, that he would become a perfect man. Wow. You see, that's what God wants us to be, perfect in our generation, like we talked about this morning with Noah. Verse number 28 here in this chapter of Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." There's a little bit of New Testament theology in the words of wicked King Nebuchadnezzar right there. You say, well, what is that? Oh, you know it. You know it by heart. Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice." What does that mean? What does that mean in relationship to what is said about the three Hebrew boys of Daniel 3? Bottom line would simply be that they were surrendered to the will of God. If God chooses, He can deliver us. If God doesn't choose to deliver us, then we will die in the flame. We will not serve your God. Carry that over into our relationship with God, spiritual relationship tonight, and I believe it's the exact same thing, a complete surrender of ourselves. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what God decides. This is the way I'm going. Even, God forbid that it ever happened to any one of us that's here tonight, but even if brought face to face with death. "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." I made a statement a few Sundays ago when we were getting ready to dedicate little Mason Kerr. Made the statement that I want to know why we do what we do. So I began to study why we do what we do in this area of dedicating our children. But I have been troubled by my statement ever since then. Because I hear people saying they want to know why we do what we do, but our spirit doesn't correlate. We don't, well, word of my youth was, we don't jive. You see, when I say that I'm looking to know why we do what we do, I'm not looking for things to throw away, but I want to just know why we do what we do. I'm not looking to throw things away. I think some people who say they want to know why we do what we do so that they can throw it away if it doesn't please them or if it doesn't measure up to what they want to do. There's no biblical basis for that. I'm throwing it out. You know, sometimes there's things that have been given to me as a heritage or as a part of my heritage that I can't necessarily find scripture, chapter and verse for. But I believe that some old timer, some old geezer somewhere had a notion in his head that if this was refrained from, if we stayed away from this, that it would help us in our spiritual walk. Oh, but the straitjacket that puts us in. Glorious freedom. Rapture untold. There's some things that, as I said, I can't put my finger on scripture and verse-wise, but I do believe that there's a lot of principles that we can establish from God's Word. And for myself, what some people struggle with, they are beyond the area of debate. Can you say that with me? Beyond the area of debate? Ready? Beyond the area of debate. Sounds good. Say, Brother Ziegler, how do we get to that point? How can we arrive at that point where this, my dress, the way I look, the places that I go, the things that I do, the music that I listen to, the dating relationship, reading material, listening material, viewing material, internet usage, how can I arrive at the place where it's beyond debate? Let me give you three things. First of all, you must have an experience that you know about. You must have an experience with God that you know about. Not from your mom and dad. Not from grandma and grandpa. Or your uncle or your aunt. Or somebody else that you know and highly respect spiritually. You must have a personal experience that you know about. Do you have that experience tonight? That's the first step in getting to the point where things are beyond the area of debate. A personal experience that you know about. The second way, or the second point in getting beyond the area of debate, would be that we must let God be true. Somebody finish it for me. Somebody's saying it, but it's in a whisper. Romans chapter 3, verse number 4. Let God be true, but every man a liar. That doesn't mean, Brother Gerald, that you're a liar because you were teaching Sunday school class this morning. Doesn't mean that. It means that the basis must always come back. I don't know what that comment was, but the basis must always come back that God's Word stands above what people say. I know that this is being recorded, so I need to be very careful about names. But I want to follow more of what Adam Clark has to tell me of what God's Word's referring to than what I want to follow what Chuck Swindoll's saying. Now, if you listen to Chuck Swindoll, that's between you and God, but you better be careful filling your mind with what he has to say. There's a lot of guys that we can mention tonight, and they are excellent writers, they're excellent speakers, they have excellent brains, they're sharp. Dr. Godbey, probably those of you that are under 40, didn't go to Bible school, you probably don't know anything about Dr. Godbey. But if he were here tonight, you would probably shun him. You probably wouldn't be around Dr. Godbey. Three or four shirts on, three or four pants on. May or may not have had a bath for a while. But I'd rather listen to what he has to tell me about God's Word than some others. I think about Dr. Godbey along the line of John the Baptist. Maybe he was that way. Number one, to get beyond the area of debate. Number one, must have an acquaintance or experience that you know about. Number two, must let God be true. Base it upon God's Word, and everybody else, if they're away from that, then they're telling a story. Don't go out into the woods. Don't go out and climb a tree stand and say that God's giving you a new revelation. I prayed in the cornfield and God said. Well, if God said it, then look in the Bible and see if it lines up with God's Word. And if it does, then I'll accept what you have to say. But if it goes against God's Word, because God's Word's the basis. Number three. Well, let me be repetitious here. Number one, have an acquaintance or an experience that you know about. An acquaintance with God, an experience that you know about. Number two, must let God be true and every man a liar. Number three, must be true to your best light. Even if you're the only one that will. Every one of us, somewhere along the line, have had somewhat of an up and down relationship. We've been up, we've been down. We've had good times and we've had bad times. We've had better times and we've had worse times. Somewhere along the line, we've probably all experienced that in some measure in our spiritual walk. Do not make decisions when you're on the downside. Do not make changes in your life when you're at your weakest point. You will not get beyond the area of debate if you are dwelling on things at the weakest. You must be walking in your best light, enjoying your best experience, making those decisions. Even if you're the only one. Perhaps I'm speaking to some tonight, not just in the young people category, but in the whole congregation that could probably testify within themselves, honestly testify within themselves that they've known better days. Better days. And, you know, your spiritual walk has kind of waned. Spiritual walk this year has grown just maybe a tad on the cold side. Must be true to your best light, even if you're the only one that will. I am quite impressed with the answer that these young men gave to the king. Powerful king, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. What was it? They were beyond the area of debate. Did you get those 3 points? Did you write them down in your head? Number one, having an experience that you know about. Number two, you must let God be true and every man a liar. Number three, must be true to your best light, even if you're the only one that will. Beyond the area of debate. Young people, all of us really, but young people, you're coming to crossroads this next year if Jesus tarries. You're going to have to make a decision. You know the chorus. Surely you know the chorus as a child. I met Jesus at the crossroads where the two ways meet. Satan too was standing there and he said, come this way. Lots and lots of pleasures I will give to you today. But I said no. Jesus. We have decisions that we're making. Decisions that you are making. And the decisions that you make this year as a teenager, as an early 20-something, are determining the direction that you're going through your adult life and it's leading you to a destination. Be careful to choose right. Be careful to choose right. Before we go home tonight, I'd like for Tommy to come, if he would. And I'd like for us men to gather in around him. Ashley, why don't you come with him? I know this is the second time in just a few weeks that you've been up front of everybody, and you just love that a whole bunch. But I want us to surround this couple with prayer tonight. God would protect Tommy. God would surround him. Let's gather in around them. And ladies and men both, let's just have a good time of prayer and asking God to protect them.